If you turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23, and we find your place. We'll stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. And we'll read verses 23 through 28. 23 through 28, beginning to read. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear my Father, we come before you. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we think about this matter of buying the truth and selling it not, and honoring our parents. Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us to follow godly people in our lives as they follow Christ. Lord, whether it be a parent, whether it be a grandparent, whether it be a godly leader in our life, a godly mentor, we just pray that you'd help us to seek the truth, seek knowledge and instruction, and be ready to receive it. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. So we pick it up at verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. Now we know, of course, that even though that Solomon uses the words buy here, truth doesn't cost anything financially. Now, on the flip side of that, you could say that when we search for truth, there is a cost. We have to be able to recognize error. We have to be able to choose to cast down error. When we go through life, sometimes we struggle with self-delusion, where we actively choose to believe something, even though we know it's not true, even though we know it's a lie. And we choose it because it fits in better with our sensibilities. And so when we think about this word, buy the truth, or this phrase, buy the truth, there are things we have to give up in order to accept the truth. There's no financial cost to it. But there are things that we must give up. There are falsehoods that we must give up. And we know that, what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He is the epitome of truth. And that is true of the whole Godhead. That is one of the immutable characteristics of God. Something that will not change. Immutable. It's one of his attributes that he is the truth. And what else do we know? We know that his word is the truth, right? And the beautiful thing about it is that as God has left up his truth for us in his word, we hold in our hands the unabridged, unaltered word of God. It's not copyrighted. It's not something that is held in locked cabinets, as in the days gone by where Bibles were outlawed. Certainly in some countries, yes, it is. It is outlawed. But in our country here, it is not outlawed. You think of some of the Bibles of yesteryear, like the great Matthew's Bible that was huge and was locked to the pulpit in the churches. It's not that way now. We have the blessing of having the Bible in so many different forms, whether it be the whole Bible, whether it be a New Testament that you can slip into your pocket. The other day I was going out and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to have any downtime or be able to, just do some reading. And And I was thinking about taking my Bible with me, and of course, I mean, I've got the Bible in here, but digital devices can be distracting. You get a little notification. It's like, ooh, you know, and off you go. And so, I found my New Testament, popped that in my pocket, and away I went. You think about John or Romans that we send out. And, of course, like I said, you know, we do have it in various electronic media. You know, one of the greatest investments you can get is a audio Bible for your phone. If you have a smartphone, or of course you can get audio Bibles on CDs as well. But you know, you're traveling somewhere, or perhaps you're doing some work. You're working your workshop, or ladies, maybe you're doing something. You're sewing, or you're doing dishes, or whatever it is that you're doing. To have the Bible sitting there playing next to you, hearing the Word of God. And you know, there is something. There are times when I will get something hearing the Word of God read that I didn't get when I was reading it. Something just like clicks. Because our bodies, we absorb material through not only written, but audio visual is one of the best ways to absorb material. And so, you know, to be able to hear God's Word, as well as being able to read it. So we're supposed to buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We'll look at some verses back in Proverbs, but let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. That familiar verse there. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. This is one of those verses that's somewhat of an enigma, but at the same time, it puts a smile on your face when the Lord here says, for everyone that has no money, come and buy this. Again, there's no money required, but you do have to give up certain things. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That's part of the necessity, though, is to thirst, is to hunger after righteousness. You know, you think about when the Jewish nation was just coming into the promised land. Moses is getting ready to be taken home because, as we know, he smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and God said, I'm not letting you. You disobeyed me. You're not going into the promised land. And that book of Deuteronomy is a recounting of all that God had done. And in there, Moses, he talks about how, he says, you will go into this land, and you will go into those houses that you didn't build. You'll take up vineyards you didn't plant, and there will be a time when you will forget the God that brought you out of Egypt and through the wilderness. You will forget him. And you'll be satisfied with what is there before you in the promised land. And that was not a good thing. Because they were going to forget God. And when a person is satisfied with this world, they will not hunger and thirst after righteousness. We have to be dissatisfied with what this world has to offer. You know, so often we have a hole in our heart for the things of this that we sometimes think. And even as mature Christians, we can sometimes be that way where we sense something is missing, and we try to go after things of the world to fill that need. And instead, we need to say, oh, you know what? Maybe that's a good thing, that thirsting, but I need to channel it the right way. I need to thirst after righteousness. I need to hunger after righteousness, after truth. And that's where I'll be satiated. That's where I'll be filled. Not with the cotton candy of this world that will rot our teeth and not fill us. Take a look at Revelation 3:18, please. Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white garment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and appoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Gold tried in the fire. Not the empty pleasures of this world. There's all sorts of things in this world that could attract our attention. I just think about in my lifetime alone, and you that are, you know, my age or older, maybe some younger, you know what it's like. Do you see the difference? You see how this world has just kind of exploded with all these different things that you can do, and how the internet has all these, a description of all these different things. Things that we didn't know, different hobbies, different activities, and again, you know, many of these things can be quite harmless. But we have the issue is that we can take our eyes off of Christ, and we can load every second of our day with some of these different things, and we can lose focus on what is our primary objective here on earth. And again, many of these things can be quite harmless. I mean, in themselves, they can be wholesome. And yet, they take us away from the things that really matter. So we are to buy of him gold tried in the fire. Again, we don't have to pay money for that. We just get into God's word. And we live according to God's word. And we bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that produces these things, gold, silver, precious stones. Let's take a look at just give me a second here. I'm not sure if this is the verse I'm looking for. Yeah, 22, Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Take of the water of life freely. Again, remember this in the context of buy the truth and sell it not. It's there for us, free of charge. Again, remembering that there are certain sacrifices. There are certain things we must give up in order to obtain this. As we said earlier, some of the things that we need to give up are the untruths, the falsehoods of this life, the vain, empty pleasures of this life, the cotton candy of this life that has no eternal value. So let's take a look at the importance of back in Proverbs now. So back in our text for a moment here. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So, sell it not. Why don't we sell it? Because when you sell something, you're parting company with it. You're getting rid of it. I sold a few tools this last weekend. It was kind of funny because I put it on a bidding site, and this one lady, she wanted to make a side deal and wanted to buy a tool off me for almost double what I ended up getting for it. I still did okay, though. But, you know, I parted company with that tool. The guy bought it, picked it up, and away he went. And it's gone. I'll never see that tool ever again. But when it comes to the truth, we're not to get rid of it. We're not to sell it. We're to give it away. We're to offer it up freely. But it's kind of like that woman that had the oil in the barrel that didn't go dry, You know, dip it in, and there's more in the barrel. It stays there. When you give the truth away, you're not getting rid of it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Do not get rid of it. Sell it not. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we know to be true, and later on when trials and tribulations come into our life, we can be tempted to abandon those truths, to discard them. You've probably heard about people that are maybe in the 1800s when people were moving west on the old trails, and they would have this big set of oxen or donkeys or mules or in some cases horses pulling their wagon, their covered wagon. And they got these big oxen and they're leaving flat country, and they've loaded their big wagon down. And they thought, oh yeah, these oxen can manage. These are big oxen. They get into the mountains. They get into the bogs. Years ago, I mean, they didn't have this kind of drainage that we do now, so there's a lot of boggy land. Get into that, and now they can't. Those oxen are struggling. Those mules are struggling on the roads. What do they have to do? They have to discard things. And on the big trails, they would be found. They would be household items sitting on the side of the trail because people had to discard stuff because of the weight. And sometimes when trials and tribulations come in a person's life, they go and they discard things they know to be true, they once held to be true, and they discard them. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let's take a look at some verses. We know these verses. The scriptures, in particular in Proverbs, speaks a great deal about finding wisdom, but let's be reminded of it. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 2, 1 through 4. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Are we searching for truth in that way? I don't know if you've ever had the experience of coming upon somewhere where there's a load of coins. It's been a time or two where I can remember coming across somewhere where either someone dumped out a bunch of change or someone lost a bunch of change, you know, quarters, dimes, nickels on the side of the road, and you're like, oh, there's one. And you're digging, you're trying to find, you know, anything there you can. I've used a metal detector before and gone after stuff, not really found a great deal with it, but when you start finding stuff, then you're like, oh man, where is it? You know, and you're digging and you're excited. And that's the way we need to be about finding truth, wisdom, and instruction. And it's here. It's in God's word. We've got to mine it out. It's right here. Some of it's on the surface. It's there for the baby Christian that doesn't yet know the tools how to dig deep. But it's enough. There's enough there that they can get what they need so that they can be better equipped to start digging and mining out. And here we see that as we seek for wisdom, as we seek for it, then we'll understand, verse 5, the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Our theme this year is that I may know him. Finding the knowledge of God. That we would know who our Maker is, our Creator. We know that who our Savior is. Let's take a look in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. You know how it is that when you learn something and then some years later, you have to relearn it again? I've had that before. It's like, oh, that's right. You know, maybe I'm learning about a drug that I need to know for working as a paramedic, and I learned something, and then it kind of starts, that memory starts to fade, and I have to relearn it. Well, that is the way that we as humans are. We're fallible. We do forget things. And so here it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not. We have to choose to retain that. And going back to that analogy of the medications, for me, I have to constantly be reminding myself. I need to constantly, and that goes for all paramedics, going through the textbooks and the research and learning about the contraindications of this drug, the drug interactions with this drug and this drug, those types of things. And with truth, we're not to forget it. That's why we have to keep ourselves marinated in the Word of God, in here at all times. Doesn't matter how many times you've read God's Word. We need to keep ourselves in it. So going back to our text there, this one here, Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't turn away from them. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all the getting, get understanding. So, put the highest priority on finding it. Silver, gold, like the natural stuff I'm talking about, not important. Now, the heavenly stuff that we're supposed to lay up, that, of course, that's greatly important. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. Now, in our text, it speaks of, in Proverbs 23, it speaks of how a father is going to be glad when his son is walking in righteousness. But the opposite is true. That when a son or a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, is walking in sin, is taking the wrong path, and they're bullheaded, and they're just choosing, they know they're not supposed to take that path, it is painful. It is painful for that parent to see. So a wise son maketh a glad father. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. We read about buying the truth, selling it not. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Verse 6, and then also verse 16 here in a moment. Mercy and truth. We've talked about that before. Mercy and truth, and the scripture talks about mercy and truth kissing together. Mercy and truth are needed. Mercy is where a person forgives. Truth is where you're dealing in the land of reality, not in falsehood. And when a person forgives someone, they're forgiving them based on truth. And we are to have a forgiving spirit to others. We are to forgive others even before they have forgiven us. But we can confirm that forgiveness when that person comes to us and says, I was wrong. I sinned. I did this. I did that. Whatever the case might be. Would you forgive me? And that's why when we wrong someone, we've got to go to them in truth and describe it, not just kind of like I shouldn't have done what I did, but actually say, I sinned against you in this way, mercy and truth. Okay, verse 16 of that same passage. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Wisdom and understanding, so important. Okay, let's go back to our text here. So, Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Notice that word instruction. You know, we got to be careful that we don't just pick and choose where we get our instruction from. Quite often, the natural tendency is to say, "Well, I'm going to seek instruction from the places where I like to get instruction. I want to hear the words that I like to hear." Our natural tendency is to want to seek instruction from those who will reinforce what we believe, who will be basically an echo chamber for us. And we don't need to have echo chambers where someone just says the same thing that we believed. Yep, okay, good. I believed it too. Good. Instruction is where we're instructed by the Word of God. We're instructed by the Holy Spirit. We go to people that we know to be godly, that have an evidence of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life. And where we say, is this right? Is this wrong? Show me what to do in this situation. And where we are willing to change. It's not just hearing the words we want to hear and going to that person because I know what they're going to say. I'm going to go to that person because I know what they're going to say. They'll reinforce what I already believe. That is not instruction. Instruction is where we go with a humble heart. We go with a prepared heart that where we are willing to receive what we need to do this. And again, Dr. Google's not the place to go. I mean, Google's useful for many things. And, you know, websites like Instructables, you know, it might tell you how to build a table or, you know, a bunk bed or whatever, right? But when it comes to spiritual instruction, we go to God's Word, we go to godly believers who live this. Verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? He that begetteth a wise child. It sounds like they're just born that way. But that's not the interpretation of this. You see in the next verse, the next two verses, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. But you see, the part of the key here is verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. A wise child is not born wise. The only one, of course, that was Jesus Christ. But humanly speaking, a wise child needs to be trained, needs to be instructed. And we have to seek to get their heart. You have this verse here, and there's nothing wrong with talking to your children about giving them giving you their heart. They will have questions, they'll have all sorts of, well, like, what do I do in this situation? And that's where you need to be able to say, you know what? You're not quite there yet. You're not at that situation. You're not at that crossroads yet. Put your trust in me. I will guide you. And we cannot be absentee parents, just going, well, you know, kind of like I'm going to teach the child to swim by whoop into the water. We need to be able to instruct them step by step. You know, I was helping some of our children learn to swim this last year, and we didn't just toss them off the boat into the water and say, okay, have at her. But instead, you know, I was in the water, and we had them wearing a life jacket, and you know, showed them how to swim. Try, you know, use this method, and broke down their fears. And the same thing goes spiritually. We don't just go to our child. No. Step by step, we are instructing them. We are culturing a desire for them to give us their heart voluntarily. We do not demand it. We cannot force them. You cannot force someone to give you their heart. But you create the setting where they will trust you. That's the goal. And where they will voluntarily say, you know what? You've, dad or mother, you've been here before. You know things that I don't know. I'm gonna put my trust in you. But it's a two-way street. We cannot demand it. We have to earn their trust. But it is so important for parents to be seeking that, where little by little, through family devotions, where you know we're daily spending time with them in God's Word, every day. And of course, our schedules are very varied, and you know some will have their devotions in the morning, and some of you will be up at 4 a.m., and that's not going to happen. And you'll have to do devotions in the evening. But at some point in time, you need to have devotions with your family and to be going through God's Word. And also, not just that, but doing a positive feedback thing where you're not just throwing them information, but you're testing them. Did they understand that? There's been cases where I thought my children understood something. I thought they understood that word. And then I'll just go, did you understand what that word means? No. Well, that's going to change a whole lot of things. If they don't understand what that word means, that is likely not going to value. They're not going to gain value out of that passage if it's a critical word. So that's where I have to break it down. I have to explain that word to them. You know, I might pull out Strong's Concordance and explain what that word means. And, you know, you check on where they're reading in their personal devotions. You make sure that they are having personal devotions. What did they get from their personal devotions? You know, what pop quiz on what did they hear in Sunday school? What did they hear from the message that was preached in the church service? Are they zoned out? Or were they getting something from it? So we have to work at obtaining the trust of our children and making it a high priority. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to search for truth, wisdom, instruction, understanding, that we put such a high priority over it. Lord, each one of us needs to reevaluate on a regular basis where our priorities lie. Are they on the things of this world that will burn up one day? They'll all dissolve. They'll be gone. And these things cannot bring us true pleasure. They will not fill the void in our heart. But Lord, help us to have a proper thirst, a proper hunger for the things that belong to you. Help us to seek instruction from the right places, not from this world, not from unbelievers, not from carnal Christians, but from your word and from those who bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that if there be any still traveling, we ask for safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.